Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Juan Gaitán, and I'm the Head of Investor Relations at Cellnex. I'm joined today by Tobias Martínez, CEO of Cellnex, as well as by José Manuel Aisa, CFO and M&A Director. They will jointly lead today's presentation. I would like to thank you all for joining us today for Cellnex's 2015 Full Year Results Conference Call. We have early today posted a presentation which we will refer to throughout our prepared remarks under the Investor Relations section on our website. And then we'll open the line for a Q&A session. Now, I'll hand over to Tobias Martínez. Please, Tobias.
Thank you, Juanjo. Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you so much for your time today, and please allow me to start by highlighting that we are very proud to present again a solid set of results, with all of our projects progressing steadily and our core activities delivering a continued strong organic growth with sustained demand seen for our portfolio of assets and services. If we move to slide number 4, I would like to start by highlighting that 2015 has been a year of delivery. We have met the guidance we shared with you, and we have done so supporting our activity in our three strategic pillars. The first one is the organic growth. The organic growth means the maximization of our existing portfolio to capture new revenues while efficiently managing our cost structure, hence delivering an attractive operating leverage. The second one is to keep a robust balance sheet with flexible access to debt and capital markets. The objective is to have a stable long-term balance sheet and a competitive cost, while retaining the financing flexibility required to capture new growth opportunities. And the third one, we are ready to play a key role in the consolidation of the tower landscape in Europe. In this sense, I would like to emphasize that our geographical focus is Europe. That our neutral and independent nature allowed us to be seen a long-term partner for our customers. And that's the only reason why we will execute a transaction is because we will create value for our shareholders. And to ensure this is the case, we have a strict investment discipline. Well, we move to slide number 5. We can approach to specific examples that illustrate our strategic pillars. Organic growth in the telecom site rental business has been strong in 2015, with an increase of POPs of 8%, mainly due to a multi-tenancy services. That means more customers on our towers because they require additional locations, mainly for the 4G rollout. Reduction of coverage gaps and higher densification, mainly in the urban areas. It is also important to mention that after just 9 months of operations in Italy, the company that runs the towers we acquired from Wind in Italy, we have managed to increase our tenancy ratio in the country, thus meeting our acquisition business plan so far. I think this is a very good news for everyone. Looking into 2016 onwards, we believe the main driver for organic growth will be the rationalization of overlapping networks, and in order to capture this growth, we have today identified around 2,000 towers that can be dismantled in the two countries we are present. We are actively and constantly working with different operators, and we expect to present to you good news on this front in the very short term. the economical benefits of this new activity should start being visible from 2016-2017. Moving to slide number 6, here you can see the main characteristics of our current debt structure. As a result of the refinancing process we carry out last year, we have managed to extend our maturities at a competitive cost, remove any additional covenants which might constrain our future growth, partially hedge our interest rates, and diversify our sources of funding. This creates the appropriate platform to continue pursuing M&A projects, which are analyzed under the strict value creation criteria with a view to maximize leverage free cash flow per share while minimizing the need for capital increases. With this capital structure in place, we will face no refinancing risk for the next 6 years, as the first maturity in 2020 can be easily repaid with the cash generated by the group during this period. Our leverage stands today at 927 million euros with the leverage ratio of 3.7 times net debt EBITDA. Moving to slide number 7, this is just to remind you of the excellent M&A execution we have carried out during the last 4 years. With an average acquisition of 3,000 towers per year, which has allowed us to grow at a low mid-teens CAGR in terms of adjusted EBITDA and recurrent leverage free cash flow. And what's the next? Our first priority is to consolidate our presence in Spain and in Italy, and then we want to continue pursuing new projects in the main European countries like UK, France and Germany. And these countries offer very attractive market dynamics and interesting opportunities that we are currently assessing. I would now like to hand over to José Manuel Aiza, our CFO, who will provide you more details on this front.
Thank you, Tobias. I would like to take this opportunity to update on the current status of our potential acquisition of Ingrid. As you all know, we have submitted, along with the Italian fund S2I, a non-binding offer for a stake in Ingrid that would trigger a mandatory tender for 100% of the company. We are today working on the second stage of the process and expect to submit our binding offer by mid-month. It is worth mentioning the importance in these kind of projects of engaging strategic local partners who can provide an important knowledge and understanding of the project framework. Our nature is that of an industrial player. We need to control the assets we acquire in order to achieve full synergies and to be able to become a long-term partner of our clients and to provide additional services in the future. The financing associated with this potential transaction has already been approved by several leading financial institutions and covers the total value of the target. Finally, this transaction and any other we may execute in the future will only be carried out if we meet our strict investment criteria. First, at least 10% equity IRR on a project standalone basis. Second, recurrent levered free cash flow per share accretion from year 2, 3 onward, and on a consolidated basis. And finally, an increased deleveraging capacity for acquisition when compared to the previous situation. So, Tobias, I think this will come.
Okay. Let's move to slide number 9. And this is again to remind you that we have met the guidance we share with you back in August, and that is constitutes an excellent starting point to meet 2016 market expectations. We have posted an adjusted EBITDA in line with market expectations. Maintenance capex has been slightly below. Working capital change is slightly positive thanks to a proactive management. Interest payments have been very well contained, and cash tax have been in line with what we anticipated. All this leads to a net debt position as of end of the year below market expectations. If we move to slide number 10, this strong delivery has also been recognized by the market during 2015, with Telnet share price up to 23% when compared to our IPO price of 14 euros per share, and a 38% outperformance when compared to the IBEX index. Our share price has recently experienced a high degree of volatility, but our fundamentals remain equally strong and market estimates have been maintained, providing a target price of around 18 euros per share with an upside potential of 27%. Moving to slide number 11, it is important to make emphasis again on our ability to extend the array of services we can provide over our current asset base and with our available resources. As already discussed, 2015 has been a year when multi-tenancy has provided us with a very strong organic growth, and 2016 will be a year when rationalization projects will play a key role. But we are also actively monitoring and analyzing new potential business lines which may provide us with future revenue streams. Build-to-suit is an area where we will use an opportunistic approach. Today we already have an agreement with Wind in Italy to build 400 towers over 6 years. In 2014, we entered into an agreement with Securitas Direct for the deployment of the first global IoT network with national coverage in Spain. We are now looking at extending this network by adding new locations. A field where we also see an opportunity is backhauling, which consists of acquiring the right of use of existing fiber to the tower or the deployment of new fiber where such an alternative is not available. This will represent a way to increase the effectiveness of our portfolio as we will be able to offer high-speed connectivity, thus avoiding future capacity bottlenecks if the data demand continues rising at the current rate. And the economics are similar to our core business. CapEx is deployed on an infrastructure that can be shared across multiple customers in exchange for a long-term contract. We are also seeing potential revenues from what we call managed services. Advisory services for operators in non-core countries in order to help them with tower outsourcing processes. These services may include assistance during the pre-acquisition stage of towers, support in the transfer of assets to the new tower co, as well as supporting further M&A plans. It is worth mentioning that these partnerships involve no equity contribution by Telnet. In addition to our traditional macro tower business, we are also assessing the potential to increase our presence in the small cells area. We currently have a 8-year contract with the Barcelona municipality, by which we can sell colocation services for small cells placed through the city. In this regard, and leveraging on this contract, we are pleased to announce to you that we have just reached an agreement with Orange to deploy the first small cell network in Barcelona, with the potential to add more operators in the future into this network. If we move to slide number 12, we describe our experience in the area of small cells, IoT, and smart cities. As I have just mentioned, we already have a contract with the municipality of Barcelona, which grants us access to urban infrastructure and public locations in order to sell colocation services for small cells. Such agreements are of key importance as having access to premium locations in urban areas, and is a key differentiation factor when deploying a small cell network. Today, we are analyzing the possibility with different MNOs to initiate some pilot projects with the objective to shape the business model, find the most suitable locations, and provide high capacity connectivity in areas of a strong data demand. As just mentioned, we have just reached an agreement with Orange for the deployment of the first small cell network in Barcelona. In the area of the Internet of Things, we have deployed a national coverage network based on Sigfox technology for our customer Securitas Direct. Today, we provide the network infrastructure, backhaul connectivity, and network maintenance, but we are also analyzing the possibility to expand our presence in other areas of the value chain. Okay. Finally, in the area of smart cities, we currently manage and maintain the Wi-Fi network of the city of Barcelona, allowing us to offer innovative services to third parties over this network, such as Wi-Fi mesh. It means active interconnection of access points, or platform as a platform of offload. I mean mobile data download over Wi-Fi networks. Moving to slide number 13, let me now please end this section reminding our main highlights for 2015. We are now a public company after a very successful IPO with the market supporting our equity story based on becoming the tower consolidator in Europe. We have managed to show a continued strong performance in the telecom site rental business based on organic growth and accretive acquisitions, while setting the foundations for future organic opportunities. By the end of 2015, we held the position number 25 in terms of market capitalization of Spanish companies. The 20th of July, we successfully complete our inaugural debt capital markets transaction with a 600 million euros bond, with a 7-year maturity and a coupon of 3.125%. The bond was 6 times oversubscribed and has no covenants, allowing for future growth. We carry out a transformational deal less than 1 year ago by acquiring 7,377 towers from Wind in Italy. The integration process of this new company is on track, and we are extremely pleased with its performance, better than anticipated. We have started implementing the first stage of our efficiency program. We have paid our first dividend. The National MAX re-tendering process has been complete,
and we are now working with our Plus customers in order to accelerate the switch on. Additionally, the 700 MHz band has been allocated to TV use at least until 2023. Finally, 6 months ago, we shared a guidance with you that we have met, which proves our focus on delivery. Now, please allow me to hand over to José Manuel Aisa, who will explain you in detail our 2016 business and financial performance. Please, José Manuel.
Thank you, Tobias. Regarding the 2015 business performance, let me start by highlighting that we have met the guidance we shared with you 2 quarters ago, and that we have managed to meet this guidance mainly because of the strong organic growth in 2015, leading at the same time to a cash conversion ratio of 83%. Moving to the next slide, 16. In terms of activity, we have managed to increase the number of PoPs by 8% compared to December 2015, thanks to our clients' 4G rollout, the reduction of coverage gaps, and higher network densification needs. In 2015, we have doubled the size of our tower portfolio by acquiring 300 towers from Telefónica back in January 2015, and 7,377 towers from Wind back in March. It is worth mentioning that the integration process of this new company is on track, and in less than 1 year of operations, we are proud of its performance, even better than we anticipated at the time of the acquisition. We are also paving the way for future organic growth by actively pursuing rationalization projects with mobile operators looking for a reduction of their cost base and maintain CapEx. In this area, we see a scope of around 2,000 towers to be decommissioned and are working intensely to announce an agreement. This strong performance of our telecom service business more than offsets the temporary impact from the shutdown of TV channels back in 2014, which we expect to bring back to normalized levels this year. In this regard, we can confirm that the retendering process of 6 new TV channels has been completed, and that we have signed contracts with all of the groups that have been awarded a TV channel. We are now working closely with our customers in order to help them switch on their definite content as soon as possible, and they are all now broadcasting in test mode. Additionally, the risk of loss of TV channels was completely removed. All national DTT content with key customers have recently been renewed, and the outcome of the World Radio Communication Conference has been positive. In the network services and other areas, we have also seen a strong performance thanks to the TPDR business, with extension of the Comdex network in the Valencia region and the communications network for the railway station in the Barcelona area. As Tobias has explained earlier, we have deployed an Internet of Things network with national coverage. We are analyzing the possibility to invest in backhauling for our customers, and we are also looking into the possibility to start trials in Barcelona in the area of a small cell. On top of everything we have done and what we believe we can achieve in the short term, we keep analyzing any single opportunity we can find to continue creating value for our shareholders. One example is the refinancing process we carried out last July, allowing us to achieve an efficient capital structure and to continue capturing new growth opportunities. Another is our efficiency program, details of which we will provide later. Last but not least, the new measures we have implemented in order to reshuffle our cash management. Turning to the next slide. You can see here the evolution of size, COPs, and the resulting consolidated tenancy ratio, with the impact of M&A activity explaining the main changes. Despite this effect, we have continued to optimize our network through decommissioning and managed to grow organically by adding tenants in the two countries where we are present. It is very important to emphasize that during the period we have increased the number of POPs by 8% when compared to December 2014, reflecting the attractiveness of our portfolio for mobile operators. On slide 18, we explain in detail the framework of the telecom child rental business in terms of revenue. And here you can see how the existing asset base contributes 8 million euros to our consolidated figures, with the change of perimeter at 188 million euros in the same period. Moving now to adjusted EBITDA, slide 19, you can see how the negative impact of the broadcasting business is more than offset by inorganic and organic growth in the telecom share rental business, with a contribution of the organic growth for 6 million euros in the year. Talking about the telecom share rental. Slide 20. If we now focus on the adjusted EBITDA margin evolution, operating leverage coming from organic growth increases our margin by 2%, although this is then diluted by the contribution and Galata at the temporary loss of TV channels. In slide 21, let me now spend some time explaining our recurring levered free cash flow generation in detail. I would like to start by highlighting that recurring levered free cash flow in 2015 has increased 28% when compared to 2014, and that we have managed to keep our sound cash conversion ratio at 83%, even with temporary negative impact from our broadcasting business. Looking to revenues, telecom share rental increases mainly due to the strong organic growth contribution and to residence acquisitions. In the broadcasting business, we have suffered the negative impact of the shutdown of 9 TV channels, which took place in May 2014. But this effect has partially been offset by the simulcast carried out during the first month of 2015. Please take into consideration that this is a one-off effect in the year, with its associated revenues not to be seen again in 2016. Network services and other revenues show a strong increase due to the extension of TPDR contracts and the sale of six Tetra terminals. Moving on to OPEX, we have a very well-contained cost base with a flat performance on a like-for-like basis. The increase shown is mainly due to cost directly associated with our decentral acquisitions and incremental costs when we are treated as a pass-through, therefore also reflected on revenues. As the year progresses, we expect efficiencies to start being more and more visible on our figures. On adjusted EBITDA, our adjusted EBITDA reaches 235 million euros, in line with our guidance and showing a strong 32% increase when compared to last year. Our working capital change remains slightly positive thanks to our strict management, and we expect this to be a trend going forward. When compared to last year, tax paid have decreased, mainly because of the implementation of different tax management measures. Maintenance CapEx has been catching up during the last quarter, reaching normalized levels. The increase in non-M&A expansion CapEx is mainly explained by the work carried out in the cost phase of the SIMUCAP, which also translates into more revenues in the period. An M&A investment increase due to the data and pay two of water savings. On shareholder remuneration, our board of directors will propose at the annual shareholders meeting the distribution of a final dividend of 4.7 cents of euro per share, bringing the total dividend to be distributed against 2015 results to around 20 million euros if approved, or in other words, 20% of our recurrent levered free cash flow for the second half of 2015, as stated in the IPO. Slide 22. Moving now to our balance sheet, Cellnex leverage has decreased to 3.7 times net debt adjusted annualized EBITDA, below market consensus and also below our long-term average target of 4 times. The group has increased the size of its total assets by amount slightly below 1 billion euros due to the impact of Galata. Our total equity has remained similar to 2014, with a change mainly due to the net profit generated in the year. Our total borrowings have increased 550 million euros in order to accomplish the already mentioned acquisition, and with our balance sheet now reflecting our new capital structure and our bond issue. Coming back to the remaining lines of our income statement, depreciation and amortization charge increased mainly as a result of our recent acquisitions. It is worth mentioning that we have finalized the purchase price allocation process of Galata, and the figures provided can now be used to project D&A going forward. With regard to income tax, it includes the non-cash impact in deferred tax due to the change in the Italian tax rate applicable from 2017 onwards. This was a change carried out by the Italian government as of December 28, 2015. Cellnex net profit reaches 48 million euros, down when compared to last year due to the combined contribution of the effects already explained. We will now focus on our capital allocation for the year. Slide 23. M&A investment has been dedicated in 2015 to the execution of Galata and 300 towers from Telefónica. Organic expansion CapEx, which is directly linked to additional revenues or other reductions, is deployed with a strict criteria of low fees and levered IRR. In 2015, most of these assets have been invested in simulcast, the first step of our efficiency plan and the process of a split off from Abertis in the context of our IPO. Additionally, our board has provided us with a new capital deployment tool we might use, which is the potential acquisition of treasury stock. We use this additional lever to make the most of attractive share price and for its future use in corporate transactions, thus reducing the size capital increases. Going now to slide 24. As already anticipated during our H1 2015 results, there are several cost areas where we see room for improvement and that will constitute the basis of our current efficiency plan. The main contributor to this efficiency plan will be savings from ground leases. The two tools will be applied in our straight rent renegotiations, which reduce the annual rent being paid and also extend the duration of ground lease contracts. Also, capital banking, which are based on a lump sum being paid in advance in exchange for a lease reduction and extension of the contract. The initiative targets around 5,000 sites, and we believe we can extract savings of around 14 million euros in 2019 cumulative. But there are also other areas from where we can extract additional savings. When it comes to energy, we will focus on reducing the amount of electricity used, as well the electricity fees currently being paid by the negotiating with our suppliers. In this area, we are targeting a total of 800 sites with potential for OPEX reduction. We are also upgrading our radio frequency connectivity network in order to make a more efficient use of the spectrum and start achieving savings in urban spectrum fees. Other alternatives are focused on the redesign of internal processes to remove inefficiencies and contract negotiations with third parties. Slide 25. These first measures have started to be implemented in 2015, and we will see their full benefit in 2019, with the aim to improve OPEX market consensus for that year. It is important to highlight that this plan is backloaded, with the bulk of the savings to be seen mainly in 2018-2019 period. CAPEX spent in this initiative will fall into the non-M&A expansion CAPEX category, and as such, it will be deployed aiming at a low teens and levered IRR. As you can see on the chart, we expect an evolution of OPEX reflecting full-year impact of recent change of perimeter, inflation, and any incremental OPEX linked to additional organic growth. This efficiency plan target an OPEX reduction of 5%, circa 5% of the 2019 OPEX without initiative. Moving to slide 26, in terms of the financial outlook for 2016, we believe we can provide a recurring levered free cash flow at least 10% higher than in 2015, and in line with the market expectations. Looking at the different contribution lines, it is important to highlight that 88% of our revenues for 2016 are already fully contracted. We expect adjusted EBITDA to grow around the high teens mark, and the rest of the lines can be projected according to our already expected guidelines. A special mention to cash tax, which are expected to similar to 2015 despite a higher income in 2016. Now, let me please hand over to Tobias for the final remarks. Please, Tobias.
Thank you, José Manuel. Well, let me please end this presentation first saying that thank you for your time and for your interest, and finally reminding that this year we have managed to show a very strong organic growth. We have changed our capital structure, allowing for future growth. We have successfully carried out a transformational deal and integrated a new company, Galata, with a performance which is in line with our business plan, and that we have met the guidance we provide, which proves our focus on delivery. And with this, only I would like to open the line to answer your questions.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Q&A session starts now. If you wish to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypad. First question comes from Fabian Coast from Barclays. Please go ahead, sir.
Hi, it's Simon Cole from Barclays here. Congratulations on the results. I just had a question on your efficiency plan for 2016-19. Do you plan to try and use the cash advance technique to get your discount from the lease costs, or are you more leaning towards the rent renegotiation technique?
It's a combination of both things. As explained during the presentation, obviously we have been talking about cash advances, renegotiations, and also, there are different techniques. Dismantling also will help. But at the end of the day, it's different, depending on side-by-side basis, you have to understand the needs of the landlord and then to make the proposition that better fits to his needs. I think the answer to the question is all the tools are available on our hands. I think we have a devoted team who is pushing every single opportunity, and we will try our best in order to improve this cost. Pretty sure we will carry out.
Okay, so you won't lead with one technique and then have another technique as your fallback option. It will depend site to site. Okay, great. And then I was just wondering, so Inwit has said that they're going to buy lots of, as many leases as possible. Is there any reason why you have decided not to use that technique as well?
Hi, this is Juan. This is something we might be considering as well. We are confident we can apply these tools we've offered to you. But again, on a cover-by-cover basis, and if detected the suitable opportunity, we're happy to analyze it. But at this stage, we believe the bulk of the savings will be extracted from these two tools we've shared with you.
Okay, excellent. Thank you very much.
Next question comes from Henry Karps from Credit Suisse. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah, thanks very much. I had two questions, please. First one is on the 2,000 sites you've been talking about for a couple of quarters now and the efficiency around that. Just wondering, it seems to have kind of been delayed slightly, and if you could just kind of explain a little bit what the difficulty has been when you've been renegotiating around this. And once you've kind of found a model that works, I guess this is one of the first deals of a kind in Europe, and if you think once you've found a solution, if this that's kind of applicable on other areas, or and next deal could be a little bit smoother. And then the second question was around the financing of your update on the Inwit deal. You're saying that you've got long-term financing approved, covering the total target value. Does that mean we should kind of rule out that you would potentially do a rights issue to finance part of a potential deal? That was it. Thanks very much. Actually, as well, on that, you've talked about 6.5 times, I think, the maximum net debt to EBITDA you could go to, given what's been going on in debt markets. Is that still kind of your thinking, or has that changed? Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Harry. This is Alex Mestre, Business Development Director. I will answer the first part of your question, which is in relation to the, potential decommissioning plans, as also José Manuel and Tobias mentioned during this call today. We are in advanced discussions. Here there are several projects ongoing, and not only in Spain, but also in Italy. And as you know, we are approaching two types of business model. One, it is in some cases easier, which is the monetization of assets that one operator may be, let's say, interested in selling. The other one is more on the rationalization. And then this aspect that takes some time on finding the pairs, so we need to go into the detailed analysis of side by side, taking the decision which one of the two potential sites to be decommissioned is going to survive at the end. That obliges us to do an analysis in relation to not only the cost of the lease, but also, for instance, the fiber access. So in some cases, there is also interesting to move the fiber if the ground lease is cheaper, or the other way around. If the fiber is present, we may choose the site with the fiber. That takes some time. that also takes some, let's say, discussions with the MNOs and a retail analysis on which are the activities that have to be performed by the MNO or by ourselves, especially on the moving of the equipment. So all those discussions are quite advanced. We have detailed, let's say, identified bunch of portfolios, as I said, with several operators and in both countries, Spain and Italy, and that will take some time. But work is absolutely in progress.
Regarding the questions about the right issue, well, what we have now approved by banks is a different structures that will accommodate the different price and that we can offer, no? So right issue obviously is something that we may execute in this transaction, and but we are not forced to execute it at the beginning of the transaction or very early. I think we will have enough headroom, if necessary, to execute in the right momentum, in the right moment for the market, being aware of how the market is and being commensurate with the situation of our balance sheet. Also, please take into account that the financing of the structure is based also in our minorities. We were talking about S2I. As you know, that Telecom Italia is not selling its full stake. So I think the funding of the transaction is not only a question of right issue or debt coming from banks. I think banks have to support us in every single tranche of the financing structure. And then obviously to be able to minimize this right issue and at the same time to find the right momentum to execute it, if any. Also, on top of that, in the current market, and talking about bonds and talking about debt market, we're going to be consistent with our long-term 4x net EBITDA, as we have explained, happy to go to a peak that could be maybe 6.5x net EBITDA, but always being commensurate with the current market situation. So if the market is tougher, and it seems it is this year, maybe the 6.5x net EBITDA is something we have to be prudent. Okay, maybe another thing slightly smaller can be more achievable. At the end of the day, we will try to present to you a fully financed package that gives comfort that we are not in a hurry to execute a bond issuance or to execute a right issue, if any, or execute whatever thing we may have. We'll have time, we'll have the back of our banks, and also we'll try to be coherent with the market in terms of financing.
Thanks very much. Can I just follow up on the first question in terms of the rationalization of portfolios? It sounds like there's a lot of moving parts, just because you find kind of a good solution for these two certain sites you're looking at now doesn't mean you have a blueprint for kind of the next step. Is that how it should, and each time it will be quite a lot of factors taken into account and quite complicated negotiations. Did I get that right? Thanks.
No, I think it is quite a blueprint kind of process. We know what has to be, let's say, taken into account in each one of the projects, and it is a matter to decide which activity is done by the MNO, which activity is done by us. But I think our value proposition is quite straightforward. It is more an engineering analysis that has to be performed in order to identify which are, let's say, the final sites to be the commission and which one survives, as I said. But it is not, let's say, starting from scratch every time each one of the projects to go through all the different details. No, it's more straightforward in terms of knowing clearly what has to be done.
Great, thanks very much.
Next question comes from Luigi Minerva from HSBC. Please go ahead, sir.
Yes, good afternoon. Thanks for taking the questions. I have three, if I may. Well, firstly on INWIT and the structure of your partnership with F2I, should we assume a 50-50 contribution or maybe 60-40 with you having a higher contribution, if you can give us some guidance there. Secondly, I'm interested in the level of the debate with the network, the mobile operators. So now we're talking about also backhauling opportunities. So traditionally, towers backhauls have been considered strategic. I'm just wondering, how do you engage with them, and if you see they are more receptive of the idea that ownership of these infrastructure is not necessarily relevant over the medium term for the mobile operators. And finally, I'm intrigued on about the Smart City project in Barcelona and with Orange. On paper looks like a great opportunity, but I'm just wondering about the economics. Is there anything you can share with us already at this stage? Thank you.
Well, maybe to answer your questions about F2I, will get a minority shareholder and stake, because we have the duty to manage the process, the project, and we have to integrate in our structure if we succeed in Italy. So I think F2I fits very well with us. It is very complementary with us. The final stake is not already the final, but the minority stake. When we talk about the new services like the backhaul, we are talking about to connect our existing portfolio of assets, connecting the optical fiber to the tower. This is an initiative of Cellnex, taking into consideration the requirement from our customers and the technical requirement of the new technologies like 4G. So this is, I think, a win-win a scenario, an opportunity to bring these new services in our existing towers. So this is the reason why we could execute the last mile of connectivity from point of service from this point of service of optical fiber to our towers. We think that this is an added value on top of our existing towers. And regarding the small cells, maybe Alex knows better than me.
Absolutely.
Final agreement, because it is very recent.
Very recent. I think we are launching a press release today alongside with Orange and the municipality of Barcelona. This is leveraging on the contract that has been also mentioned, of 8 years contract that we have with the municipality, where we have access of for telecom purposes to the municipal furniture like lamps and traffic lights. We are experimenting with let's say Orange the rollout of several cells on the most dense, let's say, in terms of traffic areas of Barcelona, with a system that is intended to be, let's say, be permanent, so it's a bit more than a pilot, as expected. And here, let's say, interestingly, we are working on the different positions where the small cells could be, either it is advertising, let's say, billboards or lamps, the height and how the height affects, synchronization with macro cells. So we believe that there is a strong interest from Orange in particular on going fast on that area, and being able to reuse the different frequencies they have. As you know, the MNOs have different lots of frequencies, and specifically in that case, 2.6 gigahertz is going to be used. Other MNOs are also having interest on that, and there are different, let's say, layers of involvement, up to the point that potentially share active equipment. In the case of Orange, is we provide the optical network, access to the infrastructure and power supply, and help them on the engineering and design.
So in terms of the economics, should we assume a sort of lump sum for a given city and with a certain profitability, a certain margin? How should we think about it?
Well, in terms of economics, this is something that being, let's say, the landlord, let me put it like that, the municipality, is some of the terms that are in the process to be discussed yet with the municipality. So, but I think in some logical sense from the MNO, they tend to link, let's say, the traffic which is delivered by an small cell in comparison to one macro, and this is a sort of let's say thresholds that they are willing to pay for a small cell. But this is part of the issues which are on, let's say, on the topics to be worked on the test.
Okay, thank you very much.
Next question comes from Amish Kelly from Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead, sir.
Yes, good afternoon. Thanks for taking the questions. I've got three quick questions, please. The first one is on Spain. I've seen that Yoigo have said that they're looking to expand their network in Spain, maybe looking at adding about 5,000 or 6,000 pops in Spain. Do you see an opportunity there for Cellnex, be it secondary tenancies or maybe build-to-suit? That's my first question. The second question, just looking at the map that you have on page 7 of the presentation, I see you've outlined a few kind of newish markets, Portugal, UK, Germany. And also earlier you said you felt in Italy you need a partner in that market to do a deal with Inwit. So are you actively looking for partners in those countries as well? Or are you looking to buy off indebted operators or looking for maybe some remedies that might come out of proposed consolidation? Just trying to think about what your thinking is on these markets or whether these maybe Northern European markets may be more of a secondary focus for you. And then just in the last question, kind of more of a throwaway question, I'm just looking at the same map. I see you mentioned consolidation in Italy. Does that consolidation refer to consolidation between Inwit and Cellnex as being the opportunity, or consolidation between Hutch and Wind? And assuming Hutch and Wind does get approved by the Commission, could you just remind us of what opportunities that could throw off for you? Thank you.
Well, today, on your first question about Yoigo, today Yoigo is a relevant customer of Cellnex in Spain. Today we have 2,500 points of presence with Yoigo, and as you can imagine, if Yoigo wants to roll up a new 4G network, we will be there. I don't know in which size or what will be the final approach, but I cannot tell you anything else because this is a very sensitive information from our customer. But of course, could be a potential opportunity if this project will happen. On your question about the slide number in page number 7, for us, makes sense to reach agreements with local partners if the role will be complementary. I mean, like with F2I. We are industrial investors, as you know. We have a clear role. We have a clear strategy over Europe. But it doesn't mean that to get local partners is a must. But because if you look back on our Galata transaction, we didn't get any Italian partner. But when we approach Inwit, as you can imagine, if you add Galata and on top of that Inwit, it will count more than 50% of our current business. So this is the reason why we thought that makes sense to approach and to look for a local partner, and F2I fits very well with us. I don't know.
Consolidation in Italy is more associated with Inwit or Hutch?
Well, from our point of view,
the consolidation for us make more sense in the meaning of INWIT. I mean, INWIT is the current network that fits 100% with us, make a lot of sense in terms of synergies, because for us Italy is not a project, it's a real operation. We are delivering one third of our revenues, we have 50% of our assets in Italy, we have a national coverage network, so this is the reason why for us, well, the consolidation between Wind and Hutch maybe is a fact in the whole Europe, in every country. Consolidation will happen in every country, but for us, in terms of infrastructures, it's attractive to approach in the meaning of telecom infrastructure companies like INWIT.
Cheers, thank you very much.
Next question comes from James Ratzer from New Street Research. Please go ahead, sir.
Yes, thank you very much indeed. Two questions. The first one was regarding the potential bid for INWIT. And it's been widely rumored that in the first round, EI Towers had the highest bid, but they were only willing to bid for a 30% stake in INWIT. So I just wanted to check that you would not be willing to go down to a 30% stake. You had said, I think, on the commentary you'd make a mandatory offer if your bid was successful. I just wanted to check if there's any flexibility on that from your perspective. And secondly, just regarding M&A in other countries, it kind of slightly follows on from Emmett's previous question. You've got quite a wide range of countries you are now interested in across Europe. Firstly, I presume we'd only see you move in those countries if the INWIT bid is unsuccessful. And secondly, which countries do you think are most appealing to you when you're looking at these countries? What is it in particular that you would be most interested in looking for? Thank you.
Okay. Well, it's very difficult to reply to the first question, because this is a very sensitive information regarding the offers. But as we are aware, at least for the press, if it's true, taking into consideration that we have no information, no official information for other offers, if it's true that others are submitting 29.9%, first of all, that I want to remark is that, well, at least the process letter from TI was very clear, at least 45% of a stake. Second remark that I want to underline is that if you submit below 30%, minorities, shareholders of INWIT will be out of this transaction. And third one is that Cellnex is an industrial partner, and our DNA is to manage the whole infrastructure, to manage the company, to achieve the synergies, to lead and to take the responsibility in front of our shareholders of this project. So this is the reason why for us it doesn't make sense to beat 30% or 29.9%. Second question. Our project is Europe. It's not Spain. It's not Italy. For sure, Italy and Spain today are our first priority. I'm not telling you that for us is the same company without or with INWIT. But we have other opportunities in our pipeline, for sure. But we want to prioritize today our opportunities. And for sure, Italy and Spain consolidation are our first priority. And this is the reason why INWIT makes a lot of sense in the next weeks. But for sure, if we don't succeed INWIT, we will proceed with other opportunities that we have in our pipeline.
And this, I mean, with the other opportunities that might be in your pipeline, I mean, is there anything specific in the different countries that you would be looking for if you were to rank the attractiveness of each of the different other countries in Europe you're looking at?
Well, as we stated several times before, for us it's very important to be in the five countries, in the big five countries in Europe. I mean, Spain and Italy, but France, Germany and UK as well. This would be our second priority after the consolidation of Italy and Spain.
Okay, great. Thank you very much.
Next question comes from Dominic Ogilotti from Equita. Please go ahead, sir.
Good afternoon. My first question is on the tower rationalization process. I would like to understand how to think about this process. So if you see a small number of big framework agreements, or if you are more moving, say, batch by batch or little by little. And my second question is...
Sorry, don't mention, because do you mind repeating your first question? Sorry.
The rationalization process. I would like to understand if you have to assume, have to expect some a small number of big framework agreements, big deals, or with MNOs, or if you are moving little by little, so batch by batch, it would be much more progressive over time. And second question is on backhauling. In particular, slide 11, I see 20 million capex. I don't understand if this is related to the backhauling opportunity or not. And in case, what is your expectation in terms of investments related to the backhauling opportunity?
Okay, in terms of rationalization, in those are very much the same engineering projects, and we work on batch by batch as a general rule. And batch by batch is not 20 by 20, it's more 200 by 200. So has to have some sort of material level in order to launch, let's say, the processes for the commissioning and the rest of the topic. So it's more on this 100 range, but by always.
Okay.
Yeah, regarding the backhauling investment, what we have put is an investment that we are somehow assessing. It's a first step also, as we were saying before, no? This is, we are opening the market in many angles. And this is if close, in the next months, we will see more expansion capex, and obviously we'll have a long-term contract for this, probably speaking 20 million euros.
Okay. Thank you.
Next question comes from Sam Wood from Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead, sir.
Thanks for the questions. I've just got two on organic POP growth, please. Firstly, organic POP growth this year of 8% is tracking ahead of expectations that you laid out at the IPO. What's driving the increase versus your original expectations? And then what's your expectation of a feasible long-run organic POP rate, excluding transformational and non-transformational M&A? And then secondly, to what extent do your expectations of organic POP growth differ across your existing portfolios in Spain and Italy today?
Yeah, in terms of the this past year, I think we've been, as we mentioned, as Manuel was mentioning before, overexceeding our expectations in Italy in terms of the original business plan. We've been able, let's say, to close some framework agreements in terms of new tenancy ratio that help us to reach this growth, alongside also in Spain. So in that sense, the organic, let's say, requirements basically in terms of requirements of new POPs due to densification, which has been most of the requirements from our customers, have led this growth. I understand that the second part of your question is whether you are in a position to maintain this.
This is exactly this question, but I think that from now on, we think that this 8% is difficult, no, to carry out, should be less in the future, and at the same time, we should see some rationalization, no, coming in. So,
exactly.
So the organic growth trend or mix should change a little bit in the future. 8% has been exceptional. All our guidance has been always running 3%, 4% organic growth in the long term, which makes sense. And if more, we are working for more, of course, it will be a big year, good news for everyone.
We're talking about 3-4% of organic growth, taking into consideration no inflation.
Yes,
growth.
Next question comes from Herman Garcia from JB Capital Markets. Please go ahead, sir.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. I have just one question. I'd like to know your impressions about the potential IPO of Telefónica's Telxius in the Spanish market. Thank you very much.
Well, for us, as I told you this morning, Telefónica is one of our main and relevant customers, so we are managing our relationships as it is. Second one, we have to understand finally more on the specific strategy of Telefónica on that regard, because as we are aware, it seems that this is a mix of different type of infrastructures, not only in Spain, even in other countries, with some submarine cable, or I don't know what will be the final perimeter. But obviously, we keep open, we keep near of our customer in order to explore any kind of cooperation that we may have. But today, that's it. Maybe if you wish, maybe to underline another important, question is, maybe we are the unique independent telecom infrastructure in order to consolidate the market, in order to attract other operators, and I think this is another characteristic of our project. And the scope of Europe. If I am not wrong, maybe the overlapping with this, with the perimeter of this company, will be in Spain. But our scope is the whole Europe. And again, for us, being neutral and independent, it's very important to be the consolidator in every country.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Next question comes from Fabio D'Oracio from Societe Generale. Please go ahead, sir.
Hi, good afternoon. This is Ottavio D'Oracio. So I have a number of follow-up questions. The first is on the bad calling. Looking at the bad calling, it looks a business model that rather different from the one you've done in the past. In the past, you traditionally bought towers and then you lease space. Here you are to build. And so my question is, you mentioned a 20 million opportunistic CapEx. How much more on the expansion CapEx you predict today, around 5-10% of revenues, would be backhauling? And second, is it also the revenue models, how it works in the backhauling? How are you going to charge for it? And there will be any synergy with the core business? I believe that towers where you provide a backhauling, probably you can extract more in terms of rental. The second question is on the broadcasting. Broadcasting revenues are down around 25 million. 50 million are basically one-off. The question is, what's the rest and how we have to think about that going forward into 2016? And the third is on the dynamics of any potential rights issue for the transaction with INWIT. More precisely, you basically stress that you want to keep flexibility. You don't know what our markets will look like, if the transaction completes, if there is a transaction anyway. But then you also put 6.5 times as your peak for net debt to EBITDA. It's pretty difficult to imagine that you can do with 6.5 times the entire transaction. Therefore, how are you going to basically take the flexibility and the rights issues if you can, if you basically stop your gearing up to 6.5? What else we can do? Thanks.
Okay, Octavio will try to answer your questions because it has not been three, it has been maybe 10. So help me if I forget something, okay? Regarding the first one is the 20 million euros in CapEx. Obviously, this, you ask me, no? What percentage of the 5%, 10% guideline if we have to obtain from this initiative? To be honest, right now I don't know. What we do know is that what we have done this year. This year we have invested 30 million euros of expansion CapEx, which represents 5%. Most of it has come from the simulcast. Okay? So eventually this is we are pretty sure that this 5% we need maybe for that opportunity of the backhauling, or maybe for the simulcast tomorrow, or maybe for dismantling part of these 2,000 towers. But pretty sure that step by step will bring to you different opportunities that will be fit between this 5 or 10%. Obviously, if we do 5%, the increase in revenues will be smaller than if we invest 10%. But I cannot tell you how much will be allocated, as not only this opportunity by calling, but also we are working on small cells, we are working on a smart city. So there are different angles that have to be fitting this 5-10% as long as we get a good IRR, Octavio. Otherwise, we will not do it. Obviously, in this first question, you were also pointing out the thing that if there was some kind of economies of scale, or if we could took advantage, this was a concept, took advantage of something more. Of course, I mean, if we upgrade the backhauling, it's because we do think that in that tower there will be the current tenant and another tenant tomorrow, and maybe another one much later. So for us, at the end of the day, backhauling is another sharing experience, no? A tower is a sharing opportunity. So backhauling is again a sharing opportunity around a long-term contract. But it has to be done base by base. We cannot give you, this will be 2% in the next 5 years, and I can't. I wish I could, but I can't. Your second question was about 25 million euros, of which you said half, more or less, was coming from simulcast, I think you said, and the other half is coming from what? Okay, I think that it is true that the simulcast is what you said, something one-off, but at the same time, you have to take into account that expansion CapEx, we will allow us to have this kind of one-off in a recurrent basis, as we were saying before. But on top of that, another half of this 25, I think you said, is the organic growth. I mean, you have 8 million euros coming from organic growth that it has been explained in the presentation. And the rest, so the rest is always, I don't know, I mean, you can be talking a little bit of efficiency. More or less, this is the idea, no? The thing is, at the end of the day, that the company is performing well, Octavio, it's performing very well. And I think that in this 2016, we will be able to deliver what we are committing again here, no? Also, Octavio, you know that we are a prudent company, we are a prudent management team, and we try to give something that we are able to deliver, no? And step by step. So this is also a cultural thing that maybe is not into a model, but you have to take into account. And also regarding the right issue, you are right. If we go to the 6.5 times the EBITDA, we cannot execute any other thing. Fully right. However, as I explained before, the idea is not to is not only to go to 6.5 times net EBITDA, which is a possibility, but also to be commensurate with the market situation, with the bond market, with the bank debt market. And we have to be coherent, because as you know, the market is important, but as you said also, the opportunities and the pipeline is important. So pretty sure that if we go to the market, at some point with the right issues, because we're able to present to you a coherent framework, not only because we have done Ingrid or because of not, or is a coherent framework, okay? And which, from a net debt EBITDA perspective, will make sense, will make sense. And from a recurrent level free cash flow per share, I can assure you will be accretive, which at the end of the day is what we think our shareholders are asking for.
Many thanks.
You're welcome, Matteo.
Next question comes from Patrick Bejcevic from Olive Tree Financial. Please go ahead, sir.
Good day. Well done on your results. I have one quick question regarding consolidation in Europe. We know that there is potential move from four players to three players in France and in UK. In a situation where you would see a remedy disposal of towers in those two countries, would you be in a position to participate in those remedies and acquire some of the loans?
Yes, this is an opportunity for sure. Maybe we could be part of the remedies, we could be part of the solution. In Italy, we know very well in advance the potential merge between Wind and Hutch. We have full protection in our contracts, but looking in the future, we could help even if the merge happens or not. But maybe another example of that, maybe you're referring for, is UK. But again, today our priority is to approach and to understand if we can succeed on the Ingrid transaction, because we have to submit a binding offer at mid of March. And as you can imagine, we are 100% devoted to understand if we can succeed or not.
Thank you very much. That's a great answer. Thank you.
Thank you.
Next question, it's a follow-up one from Dominique Ogilotti from Equita. Please go ahead, sir.
Yes, thanks. The first question is on the ground lease savings that you are targeting, the 14 million by 2019. Would be interesting to know what is the capex or advance payment attached to these savings, in your opinion. The second question, you were mentioning the protection that you have on the wind at potential merger. Would be a full protection, so, and how long is this protection? And third question, last question is on the telecom revenues. Looking quarter on quarter, I see some decline in the trend. So I would like to understand what is driving down the performance on a quarterly basis.
Hi, Domenico, this is Juan. On the ground lease, well, the total amount of the CapEx will be based on the X times the annual fee. We end up negotiating with the landlord, and again, the final amount to be paid will depend on the mix between straightforward negotiation or cash advances. So at this stage, it's quite difficult to anticipate any figure. For your second question, the protection lasts for the full duration of the current contract. So it's a long-term protection. And on your third one, we have two different effects. In Italy, in Spain, there's a slight decline directly associated with the pass-through. And the electricity costs will pass through our customers. So it's just a one-off adjustment on these bills carried out in Q4. And then in Italy, you're aware that we charge an additional fee to Wind linked to additional support tenant fees, which is linked to the adaptation of a certain amount of towers. We didn't meet the plan we had for 2016, but we have already caught up in Q1 2016. So it has a timing effect on this additional fee we have to win.
Okay, thank you.
Next question comes from Fernando Cordero from Banco Santander. Please go ahead, sir.
Hello, thanks for taking my two questions. The first one is related with the broadcasting business, and in that sense the question is just on the second digital dividend. We have seen some news coming from the EU as well as from the European Union, which is going to locate the 700 MHz spectrum to mobile players. I don't know when it could take place, but in any case, can you remind us what would be the impact in your business of this potential second digital dividend in terms of revenues to maintain the current capacity and also as well on CapEx? And the second question is a follow-up on the INWIT funding issue, INWIT bill. My question is regarding what is going to be the day after funding this bill, in the sense that are you looking to fully stress your funding capacity for additional deals, or you are still looking with the funding structure for the potential liquid deal to maintain some room to keep doing some inorganic deals in the short term? Thanks.
Yeah, in relation to the first question, in the 700 MHz band, we do not foresee any impact in the number of multiplexers. The recent replanning and everything has mostly taken that into account, and we do not see any impact. Below 700, the good news from the recent ITU Congress last November in Geneva is that this is also protected until 2020. So in that sense, 2023. In that sense, we also feel that the processing business is pretty well secured.
Fair enough. Thanks.
And the second question was regarding, I think, something very similar to Octavio's question on the 6.5, 6 times the EBITDA or whatever, and the right issue, no? Obviously, we will have to bring to you something which is commensurate with our pipeline. I mean, if we do a right issue or IDO, I don't know, whatever, we have to do a right issue fund, then we have to present a right issue for today and maybe for a little bit tomorrow. I don't know. It will depend on the market, how it's performing. It will depend on the demand of our shares, if we are performing well, if we are not performing well, how is the bond market. So we are already exploring every single situation, because at the end of the day, what we want to present to you is something that runs a level 3 cash flow per share, recurring level 3 cash flow the group per share perspective is accretive, being aware that we cannot come back to the market every 2 months, okay? So this is, Fernando, where we are. I mean, it's not easy to figure out the number, no? But it will make sense to all of us, you will see.
Okay, thank you.
Next question comes from Jonathan Dan from Royal Bank of Canada. Please go ahead, sir.
Hi there, thank you for taking the call. I have two questions. The first question is to do with tax. I noticed that I believe that there's a law in Italy that allows you to convert goodwill into tax deductions. Have you already capitalized on that? And then secondly, if there's any similar opportunities in Spain. And then my second question, I think at the third quarter, you mentioned a framework agreement with a mobile broadband operator for around 1,500 sites. Can you just give us an update on that contract or that arrangement?
Well, John, again, you follow very well the tax measures evolution of Telnex, and this is this goodwill change of law took place in Italy as of December 28, 2015, and finally it seems possible to depreciate the goodwill from 10 years to 5 years. The thing is that in order to depreciate this goodwill for tax purposes in 5 years' time, you need to pay upfront 16% of the goodwill, and then you can somehow get back, let's say, the corporate tax income of the company multiplied by this goodwill for 5 years. Obviously divided by five for 5 years, no? So this is something that can take place as long as there is a merger and as long as this goodwill comes up in the balance sheet of the company. So it cannot be a consolidated goodwill. It has to be a goodwill that appears in the financial audited statements of the company. And in order to do so, as you know, you have to merge. You have to merge the target and the Bitcoin. And this is something that is, maybe it depends on the structure, maybe it doesn't happen. So this is the first caveat. And the second caveat, I would say to you regarding the goodwill, is you have to pay upfront, as we said. And finally, you have to do a PPA exercise. A PPA exercise, you know, is a purchase price allocation in which you say how much of this goodwill has to be allocated to assets and therefore are not tax deductible, and how much of this goodwill can be retained as goodwill and therefore deductible. So, John, the law is clear, there are three limitations, and it's not easy to fulfill all of them. You can take for granted that if we finally, as per the company, we will assess this in detail. We are also assessing this in detail, but it's not easy to implement. And second, your question, I think, is more...
Yeah, in relation to the wireless broadband operator, yes, we are on the plan as targeted in terms of deployment. We foresee that during 2016 we will go ahead with let's say a relevant volume of POPs, very much in line on what we did on 2015, which are some of them already absolutely completed and the others still work in process, but yes, the plan is on track.
Excellent. Can I ask a slight follow-up with when we see in the press that Telecom Italia wants to keep 15% and F2I at X percent, are they talking the percentage they want in INWIT or the percentage they want in a merge in an eventual single Italian tower company?
In INWIT, John, they are talking about INWIT. They want to stay in a stake in INWIT. Yeah.
And they would allow themselves to be diluted in a subsequent merger with Galassa?
Well, no, I don't think they are very flexible in this regard. They prefer INWIT.
Okay. I guess it keeps everybody busy for another year, that second part.
You are right. You are right.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
There are no further questions.
Excellent. Since we have no further questions, we can then conclude this Q&A session. I would like to thank you all for your participation, and if more questions arise, as always, we remain at your disposal. Thank you so much, and have a great weekend. Bye-bye.